So I have a question for you. Why do you want to be a Christian? That's a good question. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Why do you want to be a Christian? I know what most people probably, one of their first answer is, I don't want to go to hell. And I would like to go to heaven. So let me ask you another question. If God removed that from the equation, if there was no heaven, if there was no hell, but you could still live a Christian lifestyle, would you still choose it? If it wasn't about eternity at all, if it was just about having a better life, how many of you believe that the Bible is true when it says, this is life more abundantly? That there is a better life, living by the morals of the Bible, the integrity of the scriptures, living with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, living with the blessings of the Lord. How many of you would agree that the goodness of God is worth everything if there was no heaven and there was no hell? Just to be in the goodness of God on this earth is going to give you a better life than living into your flesh, living unto yourself. There's so many people that haven't realized that yet. There's so many people that think that their freedom is the best life because they can choose to do anything they want to do with their life. And sometimes it's those freedoms that get us in trouble because there is no such thing as freedom that doesn't affect other people. There's just no such thing as that. One person's freedom becomes another person's bondage or another person's. It's like there's nothing free. If you have something free, somebody paid for it. If you didn't pay for it, that doesn't mean it's free. Somebody paid for it. Somewhere it was paid for. You just happened to get it for free. And the truth is, even with freedom, that sometimes we declare our freedom of ourself, which means I want to do everything I want to do. It's my life. I'll do with it what I want. It's my body. I'll do with it what I want to do with it. And then people find themselves entrapped in a place where they need a higher power to get them free. And I want to tell you, I don't want to live my life without an anchor that holds me. I don't want to live my life without an unseen hand that reaches down and pulls me up. I'm not that good. I'll be honest with you. I don't trust myself enough to do it by myself. I need God holding my hand. I need the Holy Spirit guiding me. I need the power of God in my life. And we all need the Spirit of God convicting us. If you don't ever get discouraged because you're being convicted, that means God loves you, that means he's got you, and that means he wants more from you. So conviction, even though it doesn't feel good, is a blessing from the Lord. So we ask ourselves, why do I want to be a Christian? So I believe the reason we want to be a Christian is because serving the Lord is filled with blessing. Serving the Lord is filled with benefits. So we open up this first verse, and I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I do want to read you the verses that I'm going to be speaking about. So here's the first thing we're going to talk about. Now, by the way, this is an expository sermon, so you have the outline right there in your Bible. I'm just going to go verse by verse by verse. That's how we're going to do this tonight, okay? So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, if I was to rewrite that in today's vernacular, I would say it differently. I would say, get on my knees and put my head below my heart. Now, I know that's not what it says, but in Hebrew, that's what it's saying. Because if you've ever been, has anyone ever been to the Holy Lands before? Has anyone been to the Western Wall before? You see something that all the Jewish men are doing called shuckling, right? Have you ever seen a Jewish man shuckling? This is what that looks like. Now, I haven't seen too many of the ladies doing it. I think it's something most of the men do. Most of the time they have on their tefillah, they have on all of their headgear, they have on their tallit around them, and they're shuckling. And the purpose of shuckling is to put my head below my heart. So I'm worshiping God, not from here, but from here. So the reason I'm bowing like this is because I am not thinking about how I look when I'm praising God. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing when I'm praising God. I'm not trying to be technically correct or politically correct when I'm praising God. I'm speaking to him from my heart, so I put my head below my heart. So when you get to this scripture, the first word is bless the Lord. Now, there's a lot of words in the Bible that's been translated into the English word bless, because that's how we understand it. But it's not the English word bless. It is the Hebrew word barak. And barak means this. So this is what bless means in Psalm 103 verse 1. The very first word. It means I get on my knees before the Lord. Now, was anybody raised Catholic? All right, several of you raised Catholic. How many's ever been to Catholic Mass? All right, lots more hands go up. One of the things you'll find in every Catholic church is a kneeler in front of your bench, because that is how they understand worship, is you get on your knees and worship. Do you know that out of all the words in the Bible that declare how to worship God, Hallel, where we get the word hallelujah, that is to rejoice and celebrate, Jehovah, Yodah, which means we're lifting up our hands unto the Lord. Now, dance before the Lord, we tefillah, where we worship him in song and in dance. Out of all the words that have ever been translated bless and praise, the number one way of worshiping God in all the Bible is this. This word appears 330 times. So 330 times the Bible says, I get on my knees and put my head below my heart, bowing. Isn't it interesting that that is how most religious cultures worship? Have you ever seen Muslims worship? That's how they do it. You ever seen Hindus worship? That's how they do it. Almost every religious culture has bowing in their practice somewhere, and to many of them, that's the only worship they offer is bowing. Why? Why do we bow? Why is that important? You know, I don't know if you still bow. I bow every time I hear songs about glory. When they were singing about the presence of God coming in, when I feel like the royalty of God is coming in the room, I think about his train filling the temple, and I want to make sure that my eyes are on the ground. I want to make sure in that moment, that is one of those moments that almost every time they sing Revelation song, you won't find me in my seat. You'll always find me on my knees. It hits me like that because of how I see it in my mind. I see the train of the Lord filling the temple, and I feel like I'm in front of him. You have to bow to wash feet. You have to bow to pay homage.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Now there's a reason why the Bible is very explicit with this, especially if you read some of the Psalms that have been translated, like Psalm 95 and 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, which is the word barak again. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So it's interesting how they translated the word barak there as kneel, but they've translated the word barak in Psalm 103:1 as bless. Because it's trying to translate the meaning, not necessarily transliterate the meaning. So if you're hearing someone translating for a sermon, they're not saying every single word that they said, because a lot of languages do not transliterate. What they're doing is translating, meaning I'm telling you what he meant. I'm telling you how he said it. That's why tongues and interpretation, that's how it works. You're saying what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, but you're not transliterating every single word. So many times in the Bible, we have words that are telling us that are translated into different words. But this is the word Barak again. Listen to this. The Lord bless you and keep you. Remember that from the prayer of the high priest. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The word there is Barak, which means that God is going to bend over and give you something. So God, at this point in time, now that's pretty wild for me to think that the Lord is going to bless me. And the Lord says, no, I'm up here and you're on the earth. I'm going to bow down and give you something from my hand. So the number one way in all the Bible to worship the Lord is on your knees. And even though a lot of Charismatics and Pentecostals have gotten away from that, we seem to enjoy the dance and the lifting of our hands and the swaying, I mean, all of that. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. All that's biblical, by the way. So, I mean, it's all good. But maybe sometimes in your private time, you might want to go back to kneeling beside the bed or kneeling in front of the couch, humbling yourself before the Lord. Why is that important? Well, because in the Bible, they were giving sacrifices to the Lord. They would lay a lamb on the altar, but now the book of Romans tells us that we are now a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. It says that we are now living sacrifice. Listen how this is worded. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So now we don't put a lamb on the altar, we put our bodies on the altar. So me getting on my knees like this is to say, God, I'm giving you my all. I'm blessing the Lord, oh my soul. How does my soul bless the Lord? Only when I can put my head below my heart. I can only bless the Lord when I get it out of here, because this is the reason most people that can't praise won't praise. It makes me look silly. I wonder what they're thinking about me. I wonder what everybody's going to say. I wonder if my shirt's going to raise up too high. I wonder if I got on the right clothing for worship. Then go change clothes. Because if you knew there was a king here tonight, you would be prepared for that. So how do I bless the Lord, oh my soul? Only one way. I have to put my head, I have to get my head out of it and get my heart into it. That's why music moves us so much. You know, you get moved by music. I'll be honest, and I'm ashamed of this, but it's just the truth, and you're probably as guilty as I am about this. There are some songs that I just loved because the rhythm and the beat, and then somebody told me what the words were. It was like, oh, what? I had no idea. I had no idea. My head wasn't in it. I was just swaying to the music. I like the music. I'm a musician. I love music. And I was just so into the music, I had no idea what the words were until somebody told me, and I had to take that one off the playlist. Because, oh, I can't do that. But worshiping the Lord, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, means I'm not worshiping intellectually. And that's why I feel sorry for churches that only give you an intellectual gospel and not an experiential gospel. So I don't want to say that being charismatic and Pentecostal is the only way to get to heaven. It's not. But I promise you, you'll have a lot more fun getting there. Because we have an experience. We value the relationship with God. We don't mind a dance partner every now and then. We don't mind the party, the Holy Ghost shuffle. We don't mind that. We don't mind the Hallel moments where you're praising God. And thank the Lord that there are some churches that have great roots and deep teaching. But sometimes you need to get your head out of it and get your heart into it so that you can bless the Lord, oh my soul, and lay your body on the altar. If you believe that, give the Lord praise tonight. Hallelujah.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.